Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless you. I'm grateful for you and our choir leading us this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. We continue our study in Paul's letter to the Philippian church this morning. And I want to share a message with you entitled, Viewing Life as a Win-Win Situation. Viewing life as a win-win situation. It has been well said that if you are a follower of Christ, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you've been born again, that anything that you experience in this life on planet Earth is the worst that you will ever have to endure. Anything that you experience in this life, right now, planet Earth, flesh and blood, here we are, 2023, Raines County, Texas. Anything that you experience in this life is the worst that you'll ever experience, because if you have a relationship with Christ, you also have a home in heaven, and it is going to be unbelievable, amazing, the absolute best possible. If you've ever heard someone talk about a win-win situation, what they're saying is that all of the options, especially if you're talking about two options, all of the options are good options. All of the alternatives are good or positive or beneficial. And I would suggest to you this morning that if you're a follower of Christ, life for you absolutely is a win-win situation. I believe that's what the Apostle Paul says to the Philippian church as he wrote this letter of joy to them. Now let's remember Paul's context. He is on house arrest in Rome. In a rented house, he describes his situation or his adversity as in chains. He uses that description multiple times in chapter 1. And if you'll remember, he is chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day for a 2-year period. To sleep, to eat, to write, he's in chains. And again, it's when he's in chains that he pens this letter to the Christians at Philippi, encouraging them in a number of different ways. And so we want to consider this thought, this proposition this morning, viewing life as a win-win situation. If you have found Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, would you stand this morning if you're able in honor of the reading of God's word, following along as I read Philippians chapter 1 verses 19 through 26. Paul wrote, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Verse 23, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray over these next few moments as we gather around it that you would speak loudly and clearly this morning to those in the pew and through the one behind the pulpit. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to your will and to your way in our lives. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Notice, first of all, in verses 19 and 20, that while he was in chains, Paul was confident. He was confident. He says in verse 19, for I know, expressing his confidence, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. He's viewing his situation as a win-win situation. Remember, he's in chains. And what he's saying to the Philippian church is, one of two things is going to happen. Either number one, I'm going to be set free or delivered, or I'm going to die in chains. And even if I die, you know what? I'm on my way to heaven. For me, Paul says, it's a win-win situation. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. What was Paul confident about? Notice there in verse 19, he was confident in the prayers of the saints. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. You see, he knew that the Philippians were praying for him. I would even go so far as to say that he felt the Philippians' prayers. Can I say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that prayer matters? Prayer matters. Sometimes we are tempted to think, oh, well, if God is in control of all things and his will is going to be done, what then is the use of prayer? Well, first of all, I want to remind you that God commands us to pray. He commands us to pray. And then secondly, I would say to you this morning, yes, we believe that God ordains the end. He is going to accomplish his purpose ultimately in our lives and in our world. But in the same way that he ordains the end, I would say to you this morning that he can also ordain the means. Amen? He can ordain being a part of his plan. He can plan to use the prayers of his saints to accomplish his purposes. And so absolutely, positively, prayer matters. And I continue to keep before you our prayer room ministry and ask you, for those of you who are able, why have you not signed up for an hour yet? I mean, it's 1 hour a week to come to the church, to pray by yourself, to pray with your spouse, to pray with a friend. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from it? If, in fact, prayer matters. It's a tremendous opportunity for you to be a part of one of the most worthwhile ministries that God ordains and that Emory Baptist Church prioritizes. But the Apostle Paul was confident in the prayers of the saints. Notice also at the end of verse 19 there that Paul was confident in the power of the Spirit. He says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply or the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Well, what Spirit is that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And did you know that Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit is the one that brought Christ from the dead? The Holy Spirit is the one that raised Jesus never to die again. And if the Holy Spirit is the one who raised Jesus, then what power, brothers and sisters, is available to us? The Holy Spirit can accomplish anything in your life. And so let us be confident in His power. But then also in verse 20, not only is Paul confident in the prayers of the saints and the power of the Spirit, but he is confident in the provision of the Son. He says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, I'm expecting it, I'm hoping that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Well, what provision has Christ made? Well, Christ has died on the cross for the sins of the world. Christ has been resurrected, never to die again. And the provision that He has made for us is to accomplish all things in His name. And so Paul, even though he's in chains, even though he's on house arrest, he is confident. He knows that this situation is a win-win situation. And he's confident in the prayers of the saints and the power of the Spirit and the provision of the Son. But notice also there in verses 21 through 23, not only while he was in chains was he confident, he was also conflicted. He was conflicted. Probably the most well-known verse in the entire letter to the Philippian church is chapter 1, verse 21. Easy enough to memorize. And if you haven't already, I would encourage you to do so. Verse 21, Paul says, for to me, in my opinion, as far as my life goes, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says there are two options. One of the options is for me to stay or to live. And he equates that with Christ. Now, why would he say that? Because that's who Paul preached. That's what Paul lived. He says it this way to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but whom? Christ who lives in me. See, Paul says that everything I say and everything I do is Jesus. And so if I stay, if I continue to live, if I'm delivered from these chains, that's a win. Because to live is Christ. But then he talks about that second option. And this is a little bit harder for us to say. And I would say to you this morning, it's not hard for us to say because there's a deficiency in Christ. It's hard for us to say because it's a lack of intimacy on our part. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Think about that, brothers and sisters. What is he saying? He's saying that if I die, if I physically die while a prisoner, that's okay because I'm going to heaven. And when I get to heaven, it will be gain for me. Now, brothers and sisters, if you're like me, and I confess, there are some parts of this life that I love too much. I love my wife. I love my children. I love watching my children grow up. I love pastoring this church. And for me to say that to die is gain is not to speak negatively about any of those things. It's not for me to speak negatively about my wife or my daughters or this church, but it is to speak positively about who is in heaven. It is to speak positively and ultimately about Jesus Christ. Verse 22, Paul says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for you, fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. By the way, don't let Paul's words here make you think in any way that Paul believes that he can determine whether he lives or he dies. He understands fully and completely that that's not his decision. And I want to remind you this morning that that's not our decision either. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. God has your days, brothers and sisters, written down in his book. And just like your coming was not up to you, your going is not up to you. We are all in the hands of the Almighty God. And he has our days written down for eternity. We see his conflict there in verse 23. Paul says, I'm hard pressed. I'm conflicted between the two. What are the two? To live or to die. I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. By the way, notice that wording there in verse 23, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. When the Apostle Paul breathed his last, immediately, he was with Christ. Brothers and sisters, there's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as an intermediate state. There's no such thing, as some have said through the years, the process of soul sleep. If you are a follower of Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord immediately, as soon as you breathe your last. Notice what he says there in verse 23. Can you say this? A desire to depart and be with Christ. Can you say, which is far better? That's hard. That's tough. Because we have families. We have children. Many of you have grandchildren. And yet Paul said, to depart and to be with Christ is far better. It's a similar sentiment that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 10, the psalmist said, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Brothers and sisters, if we understand that our options are to live or to die, if you are a follower of Christ, that is a win-win situation. As Paul was in chains, he was confident, he was conflicted, and ultimately he was committed. He was committed, first of all, to serving the saints. Look at verse 24. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Setting aside his own personal desires, remember he said, to die is gain. He said to be with Christ is far better. Setting aside his own personal desires, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, is more needful for the Philippian believers. Verse 25, and being confident of this, Paul, it seems, somehow had some private revelation. We're not privy to the details, but he knew that he was going to remain, that he wasn't going to die in chains. Being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. He was committed to serving the saints at Philippi. And can I just say thank you to all of you, brothers and sisters, who serve the saints here every Sunday at Emory Baptist Church. Our choir served us just a moment ago, leading us in worship. Our accompanists serve us every Sunday. Our audio-video volunteers serve us. Our security team is serving us right now. We've had ushers and greeters already serving the saints this morning. Sunday school teachers have served our classes. Thank you. God bless you. There are those in our nursery right now who are serving the saints. Thank you. And praise you and bless you for serving the saints here at Emory Baptist Church. But do you know what, brothers and sisters? Ultimately, Paul served the saints because ultimately he was serving the Lord. He ends today's text by saying that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul knew that the best way to serve the Lord would be in serving others. And that's what I would encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters. If you're serving in one of those ministries, any of those ministries, all of those ministries, ultimately you are serving the Lord by serving one another. And thank you and praise you for your commitment to that. And so as you think about your life and you think about your future, I hope and pray that you can say, along with the Apostle Paul, that your life is a win-win situation. If you stay around, and if God has more days and more years for you, then use it for serving the Lord. And yet, if God were to call you home this afternoon, that would be a win, because you would be in the presence of Christ. That is a win-win situation. But can I speak to you this morning if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ for just a moment? I mentioned to you at the very beginning of the sermon that it has been well said that for the follower of Christ, this life will be the worst you ever experience. And then there's the flip side of that. If you're not a follower of Christ, this life will be the best that you ever experience. All of the trials, all of the tribulations, all of the adversity, if you're not a follower of Christ, this life is the best it's ever going to get. And I would invite you today to accept the free gift that Jesus Christ offers you. Accept the free gift that Jesus Christ offers you by dying on the cross in your place and for your sins. And he offers you a personal relationship. He offers you forgiveness of sin. He offers you eternity in heaven. Would you receive that gift this morning? In just a few moments after I finish praying, I'm going to be standing here at the front. Brother Ronnie's going to be standing here at the front with me. And we're going to be singing and standing all across the auditorium. And today I would invite you to receive that gift of eternal life that Jesus has for you today. Again, a forgiveness of sin, of heaven, and eternal life. A personal relationship with Christ. Would you just step out of one of these aisles today, make your way here to the front? Say something along the lines of, today I want to be saved. Today I want to put my faith and trust in Christ. We'd love to welcome you, to greet you, to congratulate you, to counsel with you. Maybe you're here today and the Spirit of God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church. You've been visiting. This is where God wants you to be. This is where God wants you to serve Him by serving the saints. We'd love to welcome you today. Maybe there's another something that God has been doing and working in your life. We'd invite you to come this morning to the front to pray. Recommit, rededicate your life to the Lord and His will and His way. Your life, brothers and sisters, if you know Christ, is a win-win situation. Because to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, again, I just want you to know that our invitation is for you this morning to trust Christ as Lord and Savior for the very first time, to unite with Emory Baptist Church, formal church membership. If you've been saved and baptized and following the lead of the Holy Spirit here, we'd love to welcome you today. If you need to follow the Lord and believer's baptism, we'd love to make that happen. After I finish praying, I would invite you to respond publicly as God has spoken to you this morning in this public setting. Father, we love you. We're grateful and thankful for Paul's perspective. Father, help us to grow in our relationship with Christ that we can honestly say without reservation that to die is gain and to be with Christ is far better. And Father, if there are those this morning within the sound of my voice who've never trusted Christ, draw them unto yourself, even right now. Convict them of their lostness and their need for a Savior, and give them faith to believe today. We love you, and we're grateful for your love for us. In Jesus' name that we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front today, we would invite you to respond to our invitation.